These fishermen know what they're doing, but it's no longer working. They aren't just sailing about on a lark, they are professionals. They've been raised up to do this work since they were children. They've made it their livelihood. And it worked until suddenly, mysteriously, it doesn't. They've been up all night and did not pull in one solitary fish. Simon and James and John are tired and they smell. It's cold and their boat is empty. I imagine they feel dejected and frustrated and also worried about what they will feed their families that day and what they will tell the tax collector who continually hounds them on behalf of Rome. Jesus steps into this mess of exhausted overwhelm. He walks up and he steps right into the boat that they have given up on. And at first it seems like maybe it's a clever preaching move, using the water to put a little distance between himself and these crowds who have been all but trampling him with their fervor. He teaches for a time and then he turns his attention to the fishermen. He asks them to drop their nets back into the water, down into the deep. Simon answers him with respect, but we can hear his voice waver. After all, it's hard to hang on to hope when nothing seems to be working, isn't it? He's willing to try it again, but it doesn't sound like his heart is really in it, at least not yet. But down goes the net with very low expectations, and then up it comes. And it requires not just Simon Peter's strength, but everyone's, all of them, leaning and heaving together until this massive catch spills out into the wooden belly of their little rig, soon overflowing it such that they have to hurl the net to their partners, fish cascading out and flopping all around and filling a second boat, too. They have never seen anything like this. It's a good thing that they are so close to shore because their boats are beginning to sink from the weight of so many fish. These fishermen are amazed. Of course they are. But it's not just that they were amazed, as our English translation tells us. Their mouths hanging open there, delighted in the morning sun. The Greek here is thambos perieko, thambos, which could be amazement, yes, but it carries a flavor of both awe and terror. The sort of response that comes when we witness something that is both beautiful and stunning, something so far beyond anything we've even imagined that we are also left trembling with fear. And then perieko, meaning this stunned awe, has wrapped all around them. It's seized their bodies. It's embracing them, binding them up. It's the feeling that comes when the world is not behaving by the normal rules that we know, when the very order of reality has been interrupted. This monster catch is exciting and hopeful, and it is also absolutely terrifying. This is the moment, I think, when everything changes for Simon Peter and for James and John. But despite their amazement, it's not a total surprise. It's building on and confirming what they already know. In the other gospel accounts, Jesus seems to be a relative stranger when the fishermen meet him and then drop everything to follow him. But not so here in the Gospel of Luke. In this version of the story, Jesus has been hard at work for some time. He has healed Simon's mother-in-law. He's freed whole crowds of hopeful followers from their demons. He's been teaching all over the region and has been widely praised, or at least he was at the beginning. It's not just that he's been raising eyebrows with these inspiring acts, though. He's also been confronting the oppressive system, challenging the status quo, and casting a vision for a world built on goodness and mercy. He has made it abundantly clear who he is and what he is about. Listen again to the words he offered in the synagogue just days earlier. He opened the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This promise, he tells them, is being fulfilled in him. He is the one who will carry this love and liberation forward. The folks listening were filled then with rage. They drove him out of town and tried to hurl him off a cliff. All that to say, word has gotten out. Simon and James and John may be filled with awe and terror because their boat is sinking under this amazing catch. But I think they're also terrified because they know exactly who is standing in front of them. They feel God pulling on their hearts, leading them to give their lives to this way of love. And they know that if they decide to follow, what will be asked of them is enormous. I think that we here today, I think we know what Jesus is about also. And as we take in the roller coaster of news coming from our elected leaders these days, we get to contemplate if and how we're going to follow Jesus. We get to consider the stories we have heard, the healing we have witnessed, the freedom that God has wrought in our lives. Just as those early encounters may have flashed through the fishermen's minds as they decided how to respond, we too can take stock of who we know Jesus to be and what that will mean for us. Friends, consider again this holy teacher who has arrived among us. Jesus, the one who tells us that everyone is our neighbor, that everyone is beloved of God. Jesus, the one who sits down to eat with people whose society has pushed to the margins. Jesus, who was himself brown and a refugee, forced to flee to another country as a toddler escaping violence. Jesus, who then happily crosses so many presumed boundaries of us and them, reaching across race and class and ability and religion and more, reaching for connection and offering care where others see only difference and division. Jesus, who teaches us that wealth will make it very difficult to come close to God, Jesus, who promises to fill the poor and create wide open space in the rich. Jesus, who loves the tax collectors too, and who challenges the powers that be to lead with humility. Jesus has shown us who he is, and he has told us what he is about more times than we can count. The question is, how then will we respond? Not just once, as many of us chose in baptism or confirmation or in joining the church, but how will we respond today and next week and next month? As the fishermen will soon learn, if they haven't already, following Jesus is rarely about generalities and almost always about specifics. They will follow him to particular houses, to distinct regions, to specific people in need, to real halls of power and the rulers who govern in them. The same is true for us. We are not called to love in the abstract, but in the specific, the particular, the concrete. And so there are live questions about what our response will be to the vulnerable, to those in need, in our day. Questions like, how will we follow God's way of love with and for our beloved trans siblings? Questions like, how will we show up for the refugee and the stranger and the migrant in our community? Questions like, how will we support those children of God who are ill or destitute or living in war-torn places? Like those fishermen, what we are facing is a thing of awe, and it is also awfully frightening. Filled with awe because so much good is possible with God, possible when we come together, one with another and with God. And frightening because we know this way of love matters deeply. Frightening because there is so much uncertainty. Frightening because just as those first disciples faced all kinds of pushback, we know that we will also. In this gospel, Jesus leaves it up to them to decide if they want to join him in this holy work. And by extension, he leaves it up to us as well. He does not command them to follow, not in the Gospel of Luke. They choose that path themselves. And like them, we get to take in all that he has done, consider everything that he is about, and then we get to respond. We have to decide again today and tomorrow and the day after that. We have to decide if we're going to follow Jesus and how.